Hello, and welcome to the only podcast of its kind on the internet for the Quantum Grammar Shoot. I'm your host, Colin Jason, Matthew, Colin Glass. And in this podcast, I'll talk about a wide variety of topics, which is just me sharing my opinion, mostly through the lens of the wonderful technology known as Correct Sentence Structure Communication Parse Syntax Grammar, i.e. Quantum Grammar. Thanks for joining me. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the podcast. In this episode, I'm going to attempt to freeform on the concept of logic, the mechanics of logic, the tools of logic. It's another part of the psychology of correct sentence structure communication parse syntax grammar, i.e. quantum grammar, that I feel many people who study this would benefit from researching and learning. And of course, one very simple and accessible way to learn it would be to learn the Trivium method, which you just pop it into Google, Trivium method. The Trivium Education website will come up, and there's tons of stuff on there you can look at to learn what I'm talking about. Or another way would be to just Google the term logical fallacies, and it will give you a list of fallacies. There are innumerable fallacies, actually. There's only a handful of main ones, but there's sub-fallacies and all kinds of stuff in there, which would really only be used in what we would call arguments. But if there are facts there in the now space, there can be no argument. So it's irrelevant. But logic is very important. It's a very important tool enabled for the auditor, for you, navigating through the now space, to be able to audit that now space and be able to see what makes sense and what doesn't. If you use these simple rules of logic to be able to determine these things. And I'm going to go into a couple subjects here that are probably what some would consider inflammatory. And there's a good reason for that. And I find that the reason is that people become basically emotionally attached to certain concepts that are based on beliefs, assumptions, and presumptions, based on opinion. So in other words, someone will, an idea or concept will resonate with their inner core so much so that they will take this opinion and participate with it as though it were a fact. And you will see this in religious beliefs, where someone will believe in something that they cannot prove, cannot certify for themselves. They just want to wholeheartedly believe in it, and they do. And that's why you see so much arguing about religion. Same thing with politics. If you, you know, come from a family that is, you know, usually families will be either, you know, if we're talking about United States here, will either be left or right. They'll either be Democrats or Republicans. And the entire family usually is party loyal. So it doesn't matter whether your personality fits the criteria of your political party that your family's in. You will be a Democrat if your family is Democrat, or you will be a Republican if your family is Republican, normally. And so that's protagonist-centered morality also, where it doesn't matter what your leader does, you will defend them to the end. Party loyalty. That goes down to like gang politics, street gang politics. Doesn't matter what kind of bullshit the gang gets up to, you're going to be loyal to your gang. And even, speaking of gangs, another form of that would be military or police. I know some people might get a little ruffled that I call them a gang, but it's basically the same structure, hierarchy. Your police, if you see a teammate, someone in your gang or on your same team or on your military squad do something wrong, make a mistake or purposely do something wrong or against the rules, normally you will gather around them, gather the wagons, and protect them, defend them, lie for them, this type of thing. It's this type of mentality where people buy into something and then they become party loyal no matter what to the end. And the only problem with that is there's no stop and correct in there. Usually in those scenarios, the only time that there's a stop and correct is when something becomes a liability for the whole. So if one small part becomes a liability for the whole, then the whole will excise that liability and move on with business as usual. So to get back to the logic thing, that is logic. If you're running a business and one piece of that business becomes a liability, the logical thing to do is to get rid of that piece of the business. Otherwise, it's going to drain you. And then, of course, you can switch that over on a personal level to families that have perhaps alcoholics in them or someone who is addicted to some sort of illicit drug or whatever. And that person actually literally becomes a financial liability at some point. What do you do? So these are some hard questions, but I'm trying to show you how logic can come into every single part of your life. Yes, there are times when the logical decision is not the correct decision to make as far as family and people that you love and friends and things like that. The logical choice is not the correct choice to make in some of those cases. There's no doubt. It's all comes under rule one, rule equal, peace, neutrality, and honor and grace. So in order to give examples of how logic works for me, I will bring up some topics that are inflammatory. First one being, and this is always a fun one, a very popular one, is flat earth. There's, I'm sure, some flat earthers listening to this podcast right now. There's not a doubt in my mind. And people may say, you know, it's a logical fallacy, and I forget which one it's called, but it's a logical fallacy to say, well, if someone doesn't believe in the globe earth theory, then that automatically makes them a flat earther. That is not correct. That's an assumption, because now you're assuming what someone else thinks. Well, if you're not this, then you must be this. Or if you don't, if you don't love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, then you must hate them. That's a logical fallacy in and of itself. If you're not for us, you're against us. Now, in some cases, you know, it's like the point of fact being, if you do not choose, you're still choosing. Yes, that's true. But you have to look at each scenario and look at the whole of the scenario. These are judge mechanics. And you have to logically and very carefully and methodically think about it before making a choice or a decision. So back to flat earth. Normally what I will see happening or have seen happening, and most recently saw it happen on a podcast, is that when people get into discussions about flat earth, they'll go right into ad hominem attacks. I mean, right into making it personal, attacking the other person's character, criticizing things that have nothing to do with flat earth and everything to do with the character or personality or history of the individual on the other side of the argument. That's ad hominem attack. That's a logical fallacy. That's deflecting away from what's being presented in order to... I liken it to, like, if you're in martial arts or boxing or whatever, if you're in the ring and your opponent starts to clown, starts to call you names, starts to talk about your mother, whatever it is. And they're doing it to try and get you off of your game, to get you upset, to get you mentally unfocused and get you angry. And because when you're angry, you make mistakes. You can't think clearly. You just see red. And so that's kind of like what that technique is, because they have no other recourse than to try and use what we'll call cheap tactics to win the argument. And it works, because you can see people getting upset, getting angry, and it just gets worse and worse until people get banned, blocked, whatever. So that's one example of how logical fallacies are used in arguments about flat earth. Not the facts, but ad hominem attacks. And straw man arguments, actually, as well, which you can look that up. One thing I find, like people say, are you a flat earther or a round earther? You can just call me an earther, okay? I just know what I know from firsthand knowledge. I know that when I go 40,000 feet in the air in an airplane, the horizon, which is called a horizon, not a curvizon, the horizon stays eye level at all times. Never do I see the earth transform into a spinning ball. I don't get the sense that it's moving. I don't get the sense that the stars are moving. Not that it affects me or my everyday life in any way, shape, or form. I'm telling you what I'm observing through logic. I don't see any of those things. To me, the earth is a continuous plane. I mean, there are mountains and hills and valleys and things like that, but it is a plane that continues. Plane. And so that's what I participate with it as. You know, so that's that. I don't know what shape it is. I don't know. I've never been to outer space. I don't know anyone who has. Do you? Because that's really the only way you can certify it. Any other way you can certify it, whether through mathematics, theoretical mathematics, which there's a reason why it's called theoretical, and also through government agencies, the science textbooks and stuff that are used in class, astronomy. I mean, seriously, people on one hand say that they don't trust the government and they don't trust this, that, and the third about it, how they've lied to us in the past, which they have, and that's easily certifiable. And one quick example I can pull out is when I grew up and I learned about the holiday of Thanksgiving, how the Indians and the Pilgrims were all friendly with each other and nothing bad happened, and they went together and had some turkey and corn and whatever, and it was a cool little get-together, which is about as full as bullshit as anything can be. But that's one of the things, the myths that we're taught. So if you don't trust the government, but then suddenly now you're going to trust them with what's out beyond the atmosphere, that you're going to trust what they say about that, you can't. That's also another logical fallacy. That's called cherry picking. You pick fruit, you know, this fruit or that fruit from the tree, but you don't take the tree as a whole. You just pick this fruit or that fruit. That's kind of the same thing. Oh, so you don't trust the government, and you know the government screws you over at this, that, or the third, and you can see it. They bilk you on your taxes or however you want to see it, but yet they're definitely telling the truth about space, or they're definitely have our best interests at heart. With if we have to take this certain medicine or that certain medicine. That's a whole other thing, whole other logical fallacy, where you have something called the pharmaceutical industry. Keyword, industry. An industry that has a vested interest in your illness. It would not exist if people were not sick and did not need them. Why do you think holistic medicine has been basically outlawed and ostracized? Because an industry that has a vested interest in making money off of people being ill does not want people to heal themselves because that would be bad for business. So when they're out here giving free shots and things like that, oh, they have your best interests in heart. Yeah, let's see where you're at 5 years from now, 10 years from now. How you feeling? How many jabs have you had? It's just a continuous thing, and it's all tied into insurance scams and things like that. You think I'm kidding? I'm using logic. An industry that has your illness, has a vested interest in your illness, and you're going to trust them to keep you healthy. I got some beachfront property to sell you in Idaho, right next to the ocean, too, if you're going to buy that one. What it comes down to is if you make a claim, you have to be able to prove it. You have to provide a continuance of the evidence. You have to be able to certify it. What I will get and see and observe a lot of times is people making claims that are not ready to back up their claim. Or they always make it mysterious. Like they'll say, you know, I know that there are such things as demons and angels. And then I'll say, okay, well, show me some proof here. Show me some evidence. And then they'll say something like, it's too much to get into here. I'll tell you about it later. Or someday I will. Or they'll give some sort of cryptic answer like that. Or they'll say, I just know. And then when I hear things like that, the red flags go up and I'm like, okay, now I know you're on some bullshit. Because when I make a claim, and I've used this example in videos, like if I make a claim that this is a cup, I can prove it to you. I can give you continuance of the evidence right there on the spot. If I say the word love is tangible contract, I can give you evidence right there on the spot. If you're open to hearing it, I will give it to you. And we can certify what it means. We can come to a certification of what a cup is. We can come to a certification of, you know, what salt is or what light is. We can come into joinder with these concepts as facts. But when you start talking about angels and demons, I mean, I do know, I participate with those things as concepts. I know some people participate in a belief of a concept of those types of things. But in the same way that I've met other men and other women, I have met dogs, I have met cats. I have not met demons or angels. I know that it's a concept you can say, oh, they're a little angel, or he's a little demon. Notice the gender roles there. Isn't that hilarious that I did there? That's not the same thing. And I'm not here to be misunderstood. I'm talking about beings that have supernatural powers, which just basically means not natural powers. To my knowledge, everything is natural. Everything is natural. If we, men and women, human beings, come from nature, anything that comes from us is natural. To say something is supernatural would mean that it is not natural. And how can anything not be natural if everything comes from nature? Logically, how does that work? That would require me to stretch my incredulity so thin that I think it would snap. And I'm being a little bit cheeky here. This is logic. And looking at things through a very blunt, very sharp, very focused lens. And a lot of people don't like this. They don't like the bluntness. They want to be able to have that wiggle room of, well, they basically become fearful that they're going to lose the wonder of reading a book of poetry or thinking about mysticism or angels in the clouds or fairies in the hills or whatever. They're going to lose that. That's not the case at all. Because there's nothing wrong or incorrect with participating in possibilities and probabilities. The only thing is you just can't certify it. Doesn't make any more or less valuable to your life. It's awesome to have possibilities and probabilities. You can participate with those things as facts. When you say something is possible, you know what that means, and I know what that means. But you can go into percentages too. Is this more possible than that? Is it more possible that I will be able to prove and certify to you what a cup is, than I will be able to certify or prove to you what an angel or a demon is? What's the probability factor there? Possibility factors there, percentage-wise. You see what I'm saying? You can participate with those things. But when it comes down to facts, number one, you have to know what a fact is for yourself. You have to have closure on what a fact is. That has to be concrete. That has to be a position that you hold. And once you establish that, then you can move on to the probabilities and possibilities, and then you can categorize things in the now space. And then as you will find, as you categorize these things, you will find what is relevant to you. You will find what is practical to your life. And then what you will do normally, and this is comes to people studying quantum grammar, you know, what you will do normally is take those things that are very practical and very probable and very possible and put them more towards the top of the priority list than you would the other things that are not practical to your now space. Things like religion, or flat earth, or politics. You will kind of put them to the bottom of the list and start concentrating on things that actually make a difference in your every, you know, your daily, your day-to-day. I might as well bring it around to some more practical examples having to do with the quantum grammar contingent or domain, and also on a personal level, how I feel about things, because I had to learn this stuff too. You know, it took me 1,000 hours of study and performance before I was even able to use with confidence correct set and structure communication parsing syntax grammar. All the while, I had these two individuals, Colin David Eiffelwind, Colin Miller, and Colin Russell Heaven J. Colin Gould, who I was watching and observing in videos, and whom I wanted to, you know, they were very inspiring to me. Their enthusiasm, the things that they were saying, inspired me to want to have what they had achieved. Meaning, I wanted to have the same confidence that they had. I wanted to have the same confidence in maintaining a position that they had. I'm not saying that I wanted their specific position, because I don't. Number one, I definitely have no aspirations of being a leader of any sort, because that would be a violation of rule one, rule equal in my construct. I definitely can guide people, but I'm not someone that's going to take on the responsibility of others, because I feel that everyone should take responsibility for their own damn selves. That's how I feel. And that's what I teach. That's why I always use the word autonomy. So let me make that clear. I have no aspirations of taking over anything or replacing anyone or being any type of leader or chief or anything like that. It's far from what I want. I take a different approach. I think everyone, if they choose, ought to become autonomous in their own right. Not right, in their own sense of position, where they don't need anyone to be an authority over them or lead them or anything like that. They can lead themselves. So I just wanted to clear that up in case anybody out there has any doubts. So, but these two men inspired me. I wanted to achieve autonomy like they supposedly had and have that for my own construct and things I was doing. And the more that I got into it and studied, and the more closure I got on the grammar, and the more I used it, the more I actually saw with my own two eyes through firsthand knowledge how it worked, what it did, the technology itself, using it, how it worked and what it did, then I began to see some contradictions and some cracks in those gentlemen's stories. They always tell these stories about how they went into courts and judges ran out and judges came down and sat with them and helicopters and all kinds of crazy stories. Even one where there's ants, a group of ants doing this, that, or the third, and it's like symbolic of what was happening between them, the men at that moment in time, or birds coming to land on the hand and all this kind of crazy stuff, right? Which I'm not saying they didn't happen. I'm saying I can't certify that it happened using logic. The same as people saying, well, these things happened. I went into court and the judge ran out and it's all on film. I know it's a fact. I know what happened. I was there. Okay. Where's the film? Where's the footage? Where's the certification of these things? It's been years. Hasn't come out. Ever. Ever, ever, ever has it ever come out? None. Never. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying I haven't seen it. And logically, and it's not a personal thing, logically, that's an opinion. Those gentlemen, those are their stories, and they may participate with those stories as facts. I don't know either one of those gentlemen personally. I don't. Never met them. I've talked to David on the phone multiple times during the last year of his life, but I didn't get to know him personally, anything about his personal life or anything like that. And Russell, I've been in email contact with him from 2017 to 2019, and I never got to know him personally. I got to know a little bit of his personality through the way that he replied in his responses in the emails, but that's it. I don't know him as a person, what kind of a man he is, or anything like that. I only know what's out there in the public on the YouTube channels. And that's hardly anything to go on as far as to know someone completely as a person. So what I'm trying to get across here is, if you know, for example, your spouse, your brother, your sister, your best friend, mother, father, you know them, and you know whether you have a trust count with them or not. You know how they navigate and operate. You know people, childhood friends and stuff, or enemies, or you know someone is someone you can trust or not trust because you know them personally and you've seen them. It's not so with those gentlemen. I don't know them in that way. So therefore, I'm not going to invest my trust in their word. I'm only going to invest trust in their word if I can certify their word. And so far, what they said about grammar, what they said about postal mechanics and flag mechanics, I can certify that those things work because I learned them for myself and I use them for myself and they are 100% successful and they work. But as far as personal stories of events that happen, no. Logically, I'm not going to participate with them as facts because I don't have any certification of it. I only have their word. And if someone demands that you take them at their word even though you don't know them, that's an authoritarian construct right there. If they get offended that you don't believe them, if they get mad and start calling you names and stuff, if they get butthurt that you don't take them at their word, then number one, they don't know about logic. They're definitely not a logical person, or they're purposely vacating logic to maintain an authoritarian position of, you don't question what I say because I'm in charge here. And if you're going to question me, it's my way or the highway, get out. I can't have people like you here questioning me, because if you question me, then I'm going to have to give you closure. And if I give you closure, then you're going to see me for who I really am. And I can't have that because I need people to just believe me without any proof. That's the most basic way I can put it. Politicians do it all the time. Military, it happens all the time. Gangs, whatever. Wow, I brought that around full circle. Hope you enjoyed this podcast about logic. I'll probably be doing some more in the future because it seems to be a very challenging point for some people. If you'd like a brief 10 to 15 minute video consultation with me, email me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com and let me know. You can ask me grammar questions. You can request to apply for a workshop. Whatever, just send me an email. Thanks for listening.